Well, it's great to see you all. Happy New Year. Welcome to Equipping Hour. This morning, you get me instead of Zach Cann, and that's a little bit of a disappointment. However, I think I've got a lot of pictures and videos to spice things up a little bit this morning. Let me open us in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for particularly bringing the gospel into our lives across cultures, across oceans, across many difficulties, and you used human means to do that. Bible translators, publishing houses, evangelists, parents, pastors, friends. God, we thank you for bridging all of these gaps and for bridging the most impossible gap of our own sinful rebellion, recalcitrance, and hard-heartedness. We could not rescue ourselves. You had to come by the power of the Holy Spirit and through human instrumentality to break through our death, to bring us life. So we thank you. We know that that task is not done, and there are people yet around this globe who do not yet know you. And so as long as you give us breath on this earth, we pray to be about your business of taking the gospel of your glorious Son to every tongue and tribe and nation and people. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. As you may guess, this morning, in replacement of Zach Cann, our missionary in Papua New Guinea, delivering an Equipping Hour message for us, I'll be giving an update on the recent trip that Janet and I were able to take to Papua New Guinea. Now, I could fill the entire hour this morning with the dad jokes that Zach and I shared while we were together. I'll only share one of them, and perhaps it is Zach's favorite, because if anyone can, Zach can. But this morning, because of a debate or a legal battle between Starlink and the Papua New Guinean government, they do not have internet. So Zach was not able to upload his Equipping Hour message for us and get it to us. So I'm doing Equipping Hour because Zach can't. So in December, Janet and I went to Papua New Guinea. And just to remind you where Papua New Guinea is, that's the blue marble we live on. And to the far left is a yellow line that marks the western boundary of Papua New Guinea. And sort of in the middle is Hawaii. And off to the far right of the globe is California. So you can see it's a long way away, the other side of the world, hard to get there. Here's Papua New Guinea, just north of Australia. It sits essentially between Australia and China. Madang is the port city where our base is, where our missionaries sort of have their base and work out of. Below that, the little peninsula sticking out is the Rykos Mountain Range or the Finisterre Mountain Range. Finisterre is just a wonderful name for that mountain range. It literally means ends of the earth. And if you remember Acts 1:8, the Lord's commission to us repeated. He said to his disciples, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, and Samaria, even to the ends of the earth." And so it is our desire that the gospel go to the ends of the earth, even to the mountain range known as the ends of the earth mountains. So Janet and I were able to go out and be an encouragement to our missionaries. Many legs and many flights to get there. Those are all different airplanes there and back. We fly over the Great Barrier Reef out of Australia. It's pretty fascinating to see that from the air. And then our first stop in Papua New Guinea was the town of Port Moresby. It's the capital city. It's a bigger city. We didn't intend to stay there. We ended up staying there for two nights. We discovered that the airport in Port Moresby, in our attempt to get from there to Madang, where our missionaries were, was kind of a first-come, first-serve operation at 4 o'clock in the morning. So we finally made it through the crowd to the front of the line, only to discover you're not going to make this flight. So the first flight we had tried was canceled. We spent the night. Second day we got up at 4 in the morning. That was not early enough to beat the crowd. And so we stayed an extra night. Finally, we got on the last leg, and here's the approach into Madang. You can kind of get a feel for what Papua New Guinea is like. All these little houses on little islands right there in town. And so people get to work on taxis, kind of a glorified canoe with an outboard motor. And this is the international airport there in Madang. We arrived there and were welcomed by our missionary friends. There you see Zach Kahn and Cassidy and their kids, Jude, Oliver, Annie, and Ellie. Brian Twombly was there to greet us as well. Now, the Kahns were in Madang. They live in Maui Roro up in the Finisterre Mountains, but they were in Madang for about 3 weeks to take a break. And so Janet and I timed our trip so that we could be there while they were in Madang. That makes the trip about half price. Go all the way to the other side of the world, and all you need is one helicopter flight to get to the mountains, but it about doubles the airfare on the whole trip. So it's just a very difficult place to get to. So we timed our trip to be able to be there with the Kahns while they're in Madang on their break, and that also allowed us to be there with the Twombleys and the Millers, and then everybody else there at the Finisterre base. So we got a lot of bang for the buck in terms of encouragement and time with our missionaries. Immediately entering the Kahns flat where they were staying, I was handed a coconut for refreshment, and the boys were eager for encouragement and fellowship, and a lot of that revolved around games. So I was in the house for about 30 seconds when the Stratego board came out, and the games began. So played a lot of games with the boys. Janet played games as well with the kids. And we had a lot of fun doing that. The girls enjoyed time with Janet as well. And many of you sent gifts and cards and letters. I just want you to know that the letters that you wrote to the Kahns and to the Twombleys, they go a long way. Little gifts go a long way. Some of your kids actually spend screen time with Jude and Oliver. And for those boys particularly who are up in Maui Roro, they don't have friends their age. We learned while we were there that the boys Jude's age, think about this, Jude is, you know, ninth grade. The boys Jude's age have either gone away to school or they've gotten married. And so you can understand it would be difficult to be high school age, middle school age boys in a village jungle, off grid. The social interaction is tough. And so some of you here at Grace Bible Church have made it a point that your kids hang out with them regularly. That's difficult with the Starlink interruption. Just so you know, the Millers are moving in as the Kahns' new partners, Lord willing, on the 14th of January. They are bringing with them a new satellite internet system so that those things can be restored. But just know that everything you do, communication-wise, emails, FaceTime communications, or particularly your kids playing with the Kahns kids over the internet, is a massive encouragement. And Janet and I can both attest to how far that goes. We got to overlap with Josh one day. That's Josh Miller. He and his family are the Kahns' new partners, Josh and Autumn, and that's baby Rowan there. And while we were there, Josh went up to Maui Roro to help finish out the building of his own house where he will be living, as well as finishing out Zach's office. So he was up there doing work. And Josh Miller is just a wonderful, wonderful man. Josh and Autumn are a great addition to the Kahns in Maui Roro. And I'll tell you more about their ministry to the Kahns and to the Doe people as we go this morning. Legos were played with. The girls put on their aprons to make Christmas cookies. It was odd to celebrate Christmas in the Southern Hemisphere where it is summer. So our missionaries were drinking hot cocoa and sweating, decorating trees and making Christmas cookies and snowflakes. The girls were just adorable. Our missionaries are easily encouraged. They are the right people doing the right things right where they are. It's so clear that God has prepared them with the fortitude, the personalities to be where they are and what they're doing. And yet the personal interaction and encouragement is so important. I can just tell you that what Zach and Cass wanted more than anything was just to spend time with us. And Janet and I were a piece of Grace Bible Church from you to them for the time that we were there. We offered to watch their kids and give Zach and Cass a date night out. And they said, no. Can you just hang out with us and keep talking? So more coffee, more conversation is really what they thrived on. So we just had a great time with Zach and Cassidy in particular. That's PJ. She's one of the Twombleys. And there's Oliver. That's Jude. Got to spend a lot of time with Brian as well, Brian and Kara and their kids on the base. They live there at the base. Here's a view looking out the front porch of the flat at the base. This is a series of apartments where a number of families live. Here's sort of a sunrise view looking out at the Pacific Ocean there. And kind of everything inside the fence that you see is part of the base. The Twombleys live in this white house with a blue roof. The Millers live in the greenhouse in the back. And then this flat houses a number of families. We stayed with the Cans in their apartment. And that is a wonderful front porch to have coffee in the morning and look out on the ocean. In the background there, again, looking out the front porch, you can see mountain peaks poking up. That is looking across the Astrolab Bay towards the Finisterre Mountains. And I think it's 43 miles as the crow flies to Maui Roro, but it is a really challenging deal. We can do 43 miles in about 43 minutes on the freeway. That is an immensely difficult bit of travel. There are no roads, so you either a truck and a boat and then a plane and a hike, or a plane and a helicopter, or a very expensive helicopter the whole way from Madang to Maui Roro. Very challenging to get there. On a very clear day from the base, you can see the mountains like this. This was rainy season, so it kept the air kind of clear between rainstorms. And you can actually see all the way out from here to the ridge that leads up to Maui Roro. Here's a picture of the Finisterre Mountains that I took as we flew into Madang, and you can see the rugged terrain. It's just hard to compare the steepness, the difficulty of the terrain that is there, and why the peoples are so isolated. Why in the Finisterre Mountains you still have some 50 language groups worth of people who don't have the Bible in their own language, who don't have the gospel, who don't have the local church, and why the mission still exists, and why more teams are needed for this important work. There's some Twombly kids. That's Uriah and PJ and Sadie. Ellie and Annie Can playing in the yard.
Let the angels sing praise to thee, Lord, praise to the only one.
So, Chris, that is Annie's submission to next year's children's choir. They plan to be here in November of this year, so you can anticipate a couple more voices there for the children's choir. One day we were there, we went with all the families to a little resort. This is a place where you can get some lunch and then kind of just walk out into the water and snorkel and swim, and pretty fun place, and the kids all hung out, and we hung out with them. There's the boys at the lunch table. And then some of the other missionary families that are on the base working with Finisterre were there. And in the picture are some Englishes and Donkels and Ruscios. Frank Ruscio is the new logistics coordinator. You may remember years ago, Jeremy Lehman held that post, and Frank is a personal friend and a really good guy doing a good work there as the logistics coordinator on the base. And then the Englishes and the Donkels are two families who are in Madang prepping to do another tribal work with Finisterre. They're not our supported missionaries, but they're part of the organization there. And I will tell you that everybody that's part of the Finisterre staff in Madang is just wonderful. We had such a great time. People that I've known of, I got to meet in person, and then old friends we got to spend time with, and it was really a great time with all of them there. Janet made friends with a seahorse. The boys would spearfish on the reef, and catch really exciting things.
What's that one?
Fish.
That's a fish too?
Yeah. It goes swim, swim.
He goes swim, swim. Yeah.
And
what's that one?
A star.
Star. Did you make a star yesterday for a Christmas cookie? Did you eat it?
Yeah.
Are you going to eat that star?
Yeah. This star.
Are you going to eat that one?
Is this the Twinkle Twinkle?
Oh, that's Twinkle Twinkle? I know that one.
Twinkle Twinkle. It's a Twinkle Twinkle.
Almost no starfish were harmed in the filming of this movie.
Who is that? Who do you have there?
A fish.
A fish? Can you show me his face? Turn around. Oh, okay.
I'm going.
Yeah. Okay.
Clown.
Yeah, does he give kisses?
Yeah.
Where's his face?
This. This.
And his eyes are up there. Are both his eyes on the same side of his face?
This one.
That one?
This.
Yeah, that fish.
Come
on. Okay, good job. Okay, who is...
And of course, being Christmas time, you know, we sang "Oh Christmas Tree" at the beach. Again, summertime, that was odd. The boys at the base have a pretty interesting life. They can go out the front door, swim on the reef, spear some fish, bring it to a homemade backyard barbecue, grill up these reef fish, and just eat them. The girls, on the other hand, princess birthday parties. Front yard is full of life, millipedes and crabs and all kinds of things. Again, it was rainy season. So we got some rain most days. Rainy season in Papua New Guinea means it rains every day. Dry season means it rains a lot of the days. PJ found some mud. And there's Ellie with the guard dog. Here's Zach at the market in Madang. He's getting some vegetables for burger night for us. Zach is tall here too. It was fun to be in the market with Zach. Zach, of course, and his family have been up in the village in Maui Roro, but he spent time in Madang, and the people in the marketplace still remember him by name, call him by name, and start handing him his favorite stuff. And he has his favorite vendors, and it was neat to see his familiarity there. You have to see the bass. Those are in the tree right outside the houses where the missionaries live. Gotta have a bat slow-mo. Came back from the market with some fruit, and so this was a fruit party, and kind of a treat with some different kinds of fruits. We had fresh pineapple, which was great, mango. Did we have papaya? And then what was the snot fruit thing? What was that called? What was it? Passion fruit? Yeah, it's not very good. There, Zach is making our hamburgers for burger night. We had to do some repair on the base. The basketball goal was broken, so we took it down and put up a new one. And then Zach had to test it out. On any other day, he would have dunked this ball. I think he holds the record as the only guy to have dunked a ball in a high school game in his high school. And he still got it. As does someone else. Zach and Brian and I went out on the boat one day, went out in out from Madang, through Madang Harbor. Madang Harbor's interesting. It's full of rusted hulks. This kind of speaks to the culture in Papua New Guinea a little bit. If you have something broken, it's not typical to repair it or fix it, but just let it sit there and rot and rust into oblivion. So the harbor was kind of full of these rusted, rotten boats just sinking, unused. And we went about 7 miles out and had a fun day out on the water. Those are some local fishermen. And I think they were pulling in either a sailfish or a swordfish by hand. So hand lining with gloves on, pulling in these giant game fish. Some dolphins.
Dolphins. Surface area. Look at this. Look at this, Brian.
Caught some fish. That's a little tuna, another little tuna. And tuna became sushi for an afternoon meal. That was good. And caught a mackerel. Made steaks for everybody at the base. And then on Sunday morning, we went with the Twombleys to the local evangelical church in town. It's called EBC, and I think it's Evangelical Brotherhood Church. And it's kind of the best place in town to be around people who probably know the gospel and might explain it. They open God's word. They sing songs, some of which we would be familiar with, though they sing them in pidgin. And they have regular preaching. What's neat about EBC, it's got some limitations, but it is a place that has welcomed Brian Twombly's ministry. And so the pastors who are in sort of a rotation regionally through various EBC churches, they've welcomed Brian in to fellowship, and they've asked him to speak into their lives, and he's able to teach the pastors, the men there, hermeneutics and preaching. In fact, Brian preaches there regularly, and when one of the other men is preaching, they ask Brian to come up after the preacher and do what they call the strengthen the talk. And you may understand that what that means. Strengthen the talk means going to bring some clarifications, some negations, some affirmations, whatever needs to be done after what is said. And don't get any ideas. We're not going to do strengthen the talk here at GBC. But it is interesting. They trust Brian to bring truth. And Brian does that very graciously, very wonderfully. In fact, while we were there, he strengthened the talk of the pastor that was there. And while the pastor gave a good explanation of the text, and we'll look at that text in a moment, Brian came up and explained the big picture of what was going on and actually articulated the gospel. The gospel had not been articulated yet that Sunday. And so Brian kind of brought it all together, made the substitutionary death of Jesus Christ the point of the passage, and then kind of brought it home with application. So it was a really good example of seeing some of the strengths of EBC and believers, potential believers, and even some pastors that may be believers and understand the Word of God and the Scriptures. But it also brought to fore some of the limitations. They're in a rotational style ministry where a pastor may be in a given place only a couple of years before he is reassigned, kind of like a military reassignment to some other place. So the structure of that organization doesn't allow for long-term discipleship, long-term planning, the development of leaders, training leaders. Brian might get to pour into a man there for a couple of years, and then he would be reassigned somewhere else. So I'll talk more about this in a moment, but one of Brian's goals there was to figure out, can we strengthen what is there in terms of a witness to the Word of God and the gospel in local churches, or do we need to start something new? And he has come to the very firm conclusion that something new is to be started. And so his goal is to plant a church in Madang that will be a base not only for ministry in Madang, but also be a place where a vital church can be a hub for the training of pastors, so that someday when there are leaders from, say, Maui Roro or another tribal place, they will have a place to go where they can see a church functioning, be trained and equipped, and sent back to their villages. So that's a long-term goal. That's why Brian is there. He wants to see a mature, vital church, living church function there with a biblical philosophy of ministry. And what's interesting is the local leadership of EBC there, who know Brian, they recognize that their system will not accommodate those long-term goals. They're cheering him on to his church plant. And so even while we were there, Brian was negotiating with three different properties for a location to begin a church plant. Here's the interior of the EBC church before the service. Here's some singing. The singing was fantastic. You can hear some familiar English tunes, and they have books. I think because Janet and I were there, they selected the songs on the spot to sort of accommodate us, to try to do things that were familiar to us, and that was sweet. And there are songs that are very unique to their context, and then there are songs that are have English and sort of Western background to them. What you're going to hear next is the scripture reading. And in fact, you can open your Bibles to the Gospel of Luke. And Luke chapter 1, verse 39. And what you're going to see on the screen is the pigeon Bible of this text. And then you're going to hear it being read in pidgin. And so this will give you a sense of, you can kind of hear some words that will be familiar to you, some names, and even some phrases. And you can maybe begin by this to understand why in about 6 months you could be conversational in pidgin. So listen to this. How do I go backwards? Wendy, can you get me backwards a couple slides? Forward, the one with the Bible in it.
Bless here we go. Mountain, the wonder of town, you know, district, Judea. 14, now, Eliko inside from house, you know, Sagaraya. Now, Eli Kirin Pute, long Elizabeth, 41. Elizabeth, the Aren Pute, you know, Mariana, now, Pikini, Istab Lobel, you know, Elizabeth, Ikala. Ikala, na Holy Spirit ti pula from Elizabeth. 42. Na emi sinos from Thomas. Na ito. Kodi bin makin putru long you. Na kibin you blessing, imin you blessing. Emi kibin long olaro pela meri. Na diskela pikiri ni ista profel bilong you. Emtu ikisin blessing bilong God. 43. Mi usai na mama bilom bintera bilomi, emi kam bilomi, are, tanjau bilomi iaren pute bilomi, orang begini start dompet bilomi, emi amamas na i Kala. Maritri, you've been filling the ocean with Kala by making ocean any being. Talking you, ocean now you can be master.
All right, maybe you heard some words in there, maybe you didn't, but spending some time there, you start to sort of catch on to the flow of a conversation and begin to pick up things. And Brian's preaching in Pidgin. He's thinking in Pidgin. He's dreaming in Pidgin. Just so you know, he is acclimatized to the conversational abilities in the language there, and he's able to communicate. It was wonderful to walk with him through town, and Brian just saying hello to everybody in town, and they all know him, and he's just building friendships. He is a wonderful personality to be right where he is doing what he's doing in Madang. Here, Brian is looking over his own Bible while the pastor is preaching. Brian is thinking about what to strengthen, and then Brian's invited up to go strengthen the talk. And there, Brian, with his Pidgin Bible, thinking, preaching, reading in Pidgin.
God can make him one promise from Abraham. One plus can even go even by bless him, all gets aligned. Now go. Old Testament and pull up one time promise God didn't even give him.
And again, what Brian was doing there was taking the story of Mary and Elizabeth and connecting it to the big picture of the Old Testament, the anticipation of who Messiah was, what he came to do, why he needed to be born so that he could die on a cross to pay for sin. And it was just wonderful to listen to Brian do that.
Wow.
Walking home from church. And then here's one of the three properties that Brian was in negotiations with while we were there over a potential church property, kind of a warehouse facility. There's another that's a blank field and another that's a building. Monday morning, I got to sit with the men that are there on the base and interact with them. And this was fascinating. Monday morning staff meeting, they get together, they pray, they talk about what's broken on the base and what needs to be fixed, what everybody's jobs are, who's doing what, who's taking care of this and that. And the guys pray, and they spend time doing with what would be familiar to us at Grace Bible Church, something like core questions, where they're just asking each other about their lives, about their marriages, about their homes, how they're fighting sin, how they're doing in their Bible reading, what are they learning from God, are they meeting with God personally, what are they praying about, even opportunities to share the gospel with others. So things that are very familiar to us in sort of the warp and woof, the fabric of life at Grace Bible Church, they've incorporated into their life together on the base there. And the ladies did something similar in their times together. What I have for you here, and I know this is hard to see, I'm going to read a few things to you. This is sort of an update from Zach and Cassidy on answers to prayer and progress in the work in Maui Roro. And we got to think back over the years that they've been there, over a decade, and really zoom in on a six-year plan that Zach put forward. The six-year plan covering his time in Maui Roro after language learning. So, you know, they spent 6 years training here before they went. They moved to Madang and learned Pidgin and learned New Guinean culture. Then they allocated what tribe are we going to go to. Then they built houses. Then they moved in. Then they learned to live off-grid there. Then they learned the Do language. And then begins the six-year plan. So the six-year plan starts after they can actually communicate in Do with the Do people, understand their worldview, understand their frame of reference, and begin to teach God's word to them. So you see here in year one at the top, in the green are the goals they set out and goals accomplished. House building, they built a house and office and moved into the village. Literacy. Remember that the Do language was an unwritten language. And so in addition to preaching the gospel, Zach and Cassidy essentially wrote the Do dictionary taught the Dough people to read and write their own language. Cassidy created literacy materials. Think about Jack and Jill Went Up the Hill. They created that kind of thing for them in Dough to teach them the alphabet and basic first grade reading and then learning to read and write their own language. In the course of that, I think they're on the fourth generation now of Dough people teaching Dough people to read and write Dough. All of that with the goal that Dough people could access God's written word. Again, this is a long, arduous task, and it's amazing what God has accomplished. So they've had literacy classes. Zach translated Ephesians, started translating the Gospel of Mark. If you remember Amelia Brink, she was there with the team for a couple of years, and she is the best Dough speaker outside of the Dough people. She's actually has been helping even in the translation work from a distance. She's back in South Africa now and is married, has two kids, and doesn't look like she'll be going back to Maui Roro, but it still has been helpful from a distance. Zach has written and published a number of books, one on the Bible and dreams, how do we interpret dreams or how do we not interpret dreams. He's preached through Ephesians. That is focused on a number of topics: salvation, baptism, ecclesiology or a doctrine of the church, church membership, marriage, parenting, spiritual warfare. And while Zach has been translating the scriptures and then teaching the scriptures, he's also been involved in evangelism and discipleship and counsel of the people that are there. He's been meeting with the literacy teachers monthly. And of course, Zach and Cassidy in particular, have been homeschooling their kids. They were taking breaks 2 to 3 weeks at a time in country. Sometimes they're able to take breaks outside of Papua New Guinea as well. And then things that weren't on the goal list that they were able to accomplish in that first year. They read through a book called White Man, Black Man with the village leaders. And as everywhere on the planet, in every era, there are ethnic tensions. And this is a really helpful resource to talk through some of those things. Zach has been preaching in the Lutheran church that is there in the village. The Lutheran church is devoid of the gospel, devoid of right, sound teaching of God's word. There may be people there who understand the gospel, but it doesn't seem like it. They've invited Zach to preach there. He doesn't preach there as if it is the church. He follows the Lutheran liturgy, which is a calendar prescribed set of passages. Whatever the passage is for the day, he studies the scriptures and teaches that from the Word of God. But then when Zach is doing his Bible translation and preaching, his evangelism, teaching through Ephesians and Mark and Acts, he does that outside of the Lutheran church building. He does that after hours on Sunday afternoons. And his goal is to make it clear that what he's bringing is different than the Lutheranism mixed with animism that is part of their culture. Because the gospel is confused at best in that system. Year two is up on the screen there, and they were able to accomplish more literacy training, post-literacy classes. They've even done a literacy class outside of the village of Maui Roro. Zach finished translating the Gospel of Mark, did translation checks for his work in Genesis and Mark, and Ephesians he made ready to be published. He produced books on biblical marriage and biblical parenting in Dough and in Pidgin. And then he finished preaching Ephesians in 24 and 25. Started preaching through the Gospel of Mark, continuing discipleship with the literacy teachers, and he set up a Q&A time for believers once a month. The homeschool project continues, and then they were able to take some breaks there as well. Year three, covering 25 and 26, Zach was able to finish translating 1 John and Titus. The homeschooling continues, and then you see there are a number of goals that are yet to be met. And so this is what they have out in front of them. And Zach's plan, long-term, is to see as much of the Bible translated into Dough as will be helpful for that church to grow. We don't yet have any doe believers who are men, who are leaders, who have committed to baptism. There may be believers, nobody's gotten dunked yet. And you need to understand that is a massive leap culturally for them. For a doe man to believe the gospel and then say, yes, what Zach is bringing us is different than the traditions we have here, and the gospel's so clear that I need to be baptized as a profession of my faith in this gospel Zach has brought, would mean to turn one's back on generations of tradition, on what everybody else is doing. We're not even sure what the ripple effects or persecutions would be from such a move, but such a move needs to happen. And I'll give you some prayer requests at the end, but let me just press this to your hearts even now. That is probably the thing to pray for amongst the Doe people, particularly that some men would understand, or men who already do understand the gospel, would step forward and be baptized and thereby make a public profession of faith in the true gospel. That may open up a fount of others who would follow suit, but somebody's going to need to be brave, count the cost, and follow Christ in baptism. It's a big deal. It brings to the fore what baptism was in the New Testament in terms of a cost and how strange it was, countercultural, even controversial. Sometimes in our day in American Christianity, it sort of becomes normal. But I think we catch the weight and the gravity of it, so it's worth praying for. Whatever Oliver was saying there was really important. There he is out in the front yard at the rocks. And we jumped off the rocks, snorkeled a couple of times. Jude took a couple of leaps. It wasn't enough for him to just get in the water and swim around. He climbed back up the rocks and jumped again because he really wanted Spider-Man pose. So full props to Jude here. He got it midair. I won't say anything really about deadly sea snakes or a 6-foot white tip reef shark. There's all of the GBC missionaries in the one vehicle. Now Josh Miller is up in the village, so he's missing from the picture. But there's everybody crammed in, and Grace Bible Church very graciously took all the GBC missionaries, Millers, Cans, and Twombleys, out for dinner together with their families. And that was just a delightful time together.
Is that an egg on your burger?
Yeah.
Dude.
It's
going to
be good. Look at that slice of cheese.
Bacon, cheese.
It's a BLT.
Big bacon.
It's a BL, not a BLT.
Take a big bite. There you go.
You just took out the lettuce.
He took it off. He doesn't know what those are. He took the lettuce off.
So it's just a B. Yeah.
A B hamburger.
The missionaries all together in Madang gave the opportunity, particularly for the Cans kids, to interact with the other kids. Again, in the village, they're kind of their own family unit, but there at the base, they were able to sort of spread their wings, play with their friends, interact a lot, and that was really good for them. I want to give you kind of a picture of what Zach and Cass are planning down the road. Their future goals are to be here in November of this year. They want to be here for our winter baptism and membership Sunday. They ask that we not schedule that until they get back. They want to be here for winter camp for their kids, and they're going to stay all the way till summer camp for their kids. So, Lord willing, you have the opportunity to love them while they're here, to interact with them. Really, I pray to be an encouragement to the kids. Encouragements to the kids are a massive encouragement to the parents and to grandparents, I might say. It's good to see you, Mary. Thanks for being here. And Their goal is to be here 9 months. So they will be in the village for 9 months with the Millers, their new partners. And then they'll be home, leaving the Millers alone in the village for 9 months when the Cans plan to go back. And they plan to go back for another 3-year stint, at which point Jude will be graduating from high school, which is really amazing to think about. And they're at the point in life now where they're thinking long and hard about how to transition their boys in particular to the next phase of life, trade school or college or whatever. And I forgot to put pictures up here of Maui Roro, but there aren't roads, there aren't cars. Kids have already found out it's even difficult to ride a bike. So you can't get a driver's license. There are just things you can't do there. And to transition as an 18-year-old back here is going to take some work. And so they plan to come back when Jude's ready to graduate from high school and spend 2 years back here to sort of transition both boys to culture and further education here or whatever's next for them after high school. And then after that, the plans are sort of unknown. It really depends on what is the state of the church in Maui Roro. What are the needs? What will the Millers be doing there? Will the Millers go on to a different work in Papua New Guinea, or will they plant themselves in Maui Roro and carry the torch and continue the work there? Some of that remains to be seen. But you can just pray for the future for the Cans. And so in the near term, looking forward to seeing them at the end of this year. They'll be back in the village for a 3-year stint. And in that 3-year stint, their plan is to begin to spend more time out of the village. They've been doing 2 to 3 week breaks out of the village, either in country or in Australia or back here sporadically over time. But in that last 3-year stint, they're planning to spend more time out of the village, which again will allow the older boys more time for social interaction. We'll give the Cans opportunity to have the people in the Doe villages kind of stand on their own feet spiritually. Zach will continue to translate, to teach, to give them more of the scriptures, more instruction, more booklets, more help. Some of that will be from a short distance in country, and maybe in the long term, over longer distances. There's no doubt that the Cans will be inextricably linked with the Doe people for the rest of their time on earth. If you think about how many people in the world know Doe and know the gospel, that's a very small number. Amelia and the Cans. It's about it. And so while there are people there willing to listen to the gospel, the Cans know that they're just a vital part, an instrument in God's hands for the birth and growth of a church there. The Millers, let me tell you about the Millers just a little bit. Josh and Autumn and then baby Rowan are headed up there to be the teammates to the Cans. And their plans are really to be a help to the Cans. And Josh is a wonderful man, a workhorse, very diligent, excellent at details and follow through. He's just a guy that does what he says. And everybody around him knows he under-promises and over-delivers. And we're just so thankful. Not only did God provide this partnership at the right time, they already have been in country, they already had supporters, and they already knew Pigeon. So they're able to just be there, build a house for themselves, and move in. And Lord willing, they'll be there on the 14th of January. Their duties and responsibilities as set out right now are the following. I'll just list these out. They're going to need to learn to live off-grid, provide for their family in Maui Roro. That in itself is a full-time task. They're going to assist in the maintenance of all of the assets there in Maui Roro. They're going to develop relationships with the Doe people. They're going to assist Doe literacy programs, Pigeon literacy as well, and Bible literacy and computer literacy. They're going to assist in the Bible translation process with Zach. They're going to assist Zach in providing biblical leadership in the church. They're going to assist Zach biblically to raise up and train elders. And the list goes on and on. Every single thing that I just mentioned had about 18 subdivided tasks in it. Just be thankful for the Millers and pray for them. By the way, if you're not receiving the newsletters for the Cans, the Millers, or the Twombleys, you can do that by visiting our missions wall. There's a screen out there, and there's a little keypad. You can enter your information and just submit your email address and subscribe to those email newsletters, and you can get them and pray for them close to real time. Let me give you a couple prayer requests for the Twombleys, for Brian and Kara, Uriah, Sadie, and PJ. Brian is currently functioning on staff with Finisterre in addition to being a missionary from GBC and from Community Baptist in Florida. He's also serving as the field director for Finisterre in country. That's a temporary position, but Brian's really good at it. He's a good base commander, leading all the missionaries and the teams, the members of the team there well. But his goal is to church plant in Madang. He's already ahead. He's already doing what's not yet his job description, just because he's so eager and the Lord has given him such favor with leadership there in Madang in the church organizations. And so you can pray that Brian is able to kind of do both of those things and do them well. Hold down the field director job until the new field director comes. Finisterre has a new field director planning to be in Madang before the end of the year. He's a personal friend of mine, a man named Aaron Frederick, out of Jacksonville, Florida. He and his wife have emptied their nest and are moving to Madang and planning to be there for 7 years. So that is a massive answer to prayer that will free up Brian to focus on church planting. Let me give you some final prayer requests for the Cans. Again, for the Doe people to believe the gospel and for some to step forward in profession of that faith by baptism. Pray for the Cans. Pray for Zach as he focuses on men in particular to disciple and train. We just are praying that a church would be birthed and that men in the Doe speak the Doe language would rise up as leaders, to be able to tell others the gospel, eventually to be elders in a church. You can pray for wisdom for the Cans and all of their planning and strategizing. If you are parents seeking to bring the gospel into your own home, you know that you plan, you strategize, you pray, you proceed, you do it all over again, and yet you can't produce new birth. You can't actually make change happen. You want to be the instrument that God uses to all of those things, but we're totally dependent on the supernatural work of the Lord. So pray. Pray that God would use all these normal human means to accomplish eternal and supernatural effect. And then pray for wisdom for the Cans in their parenting and their planning for the future. A man plans his steps, the Lord directs his paths. They're trusting the Lord in all of those things. They are trying to be wise. Let me just encourage all of us together to be regular and fervent in our prayers for our missionaries. I know that you are. They know that. They feel that. Let's excel still more. And if I can encourage you, once again, those who have made personal relationships with the missionaries and reach out to them by email, FaceTime, have regular conversations, or your kids have regular interactions with their kids, thank you. Thank you from all of them. And let's continue to do these very things. A last departing shot on Air New Guinea, and we'll close. Let me pray for our missionaries. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the Cans, the Millers, the Twombleys. We thank you for their labors. We thank you for all who are behind them on this side of the world, supporting them in prayer and in finances. We thank you for the very generous gifts. We thank you for the churches that are behind them and for the pastors that care for them. We pray that you would bring about fruit in their ministry. We know that their labors before you are worship already, as their lives are living sacrifices. And we pray that the Doe people and the New Guineans in Madang would know and believe the gospel, that the gospel would take deep root and be a transgenerational event amongst those peoples. We pray that you give encouragement, regular, timely, and steady encouragement to our missionaries. to keep going, to plod, to labor in the mundane, to trust you. We thank you that from our vantage point and a big picture, we get to see that much has been accomplished and much fruit has been born and much has been done to glorify you and be a benefit to people who wouldn't otherwise have it. And yet we also know that for our missionaries who are there on the ground day to day, it often seems like a slow slog. And we pray that you give them encouragement. God, we pray that you would provide for all of their needs, even as you have to this point. And we pray that they would have all that they need in their parenting and their ministry and their personal pursuit of you. We pray that even as the Moravian missionaries prayed centuries ago, that you, the Lamb, would receive the reward of your suffering. And we ask it in your name, Jesus. Amen.